You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Off the Shelf, and I'm your host, Pete Sox, a Catholic book blogger. Today we have a special guest. Her name is Kathleen Beckman. She's the author of two books, Praying for Priests and God's Healing Mercy. And she's also here today to talk about another book called An Exorcist Explains the Demonic by Father Gabriel Amorth. And if you're unfamiliar with Father Gabriel Amorth, he passed away earlier this year, but he was an exorcist in Rome, performed numerous exorcisms throughout his priestly life. And we're going to talk a little bit about exorcisms themselves. We're also going to talk about how to shore up your defense, and that what we are, most people could realistically call a period of spiritual warfare. And we're going to dive into exorcism a little bit and talk about it, not to sensationalize it, but to tell people what it really is about. And it's not the Hollywood portrayal of exorcism by any means. It's a serious issue, and we're going to talk a little bit about that today as well. But before we get to that, I'd like to review a couple titles here that have come across my way to be reviewed, and we'll either feature them at a later date on my website at Patheos, the Catholic Book Blogger, www.catholicbookblogger.com, and we may even have some of these authors on the show as future guests. So the first one up is a book that's been released by Paraclete Press. It's called Icons, the Essential Collection. It's by Sister Faith Riccio. And Sister Faith is an iconographer. And what it is a book full of different icons. And there's some explanation of what they mean. Because as we know, or you may not know, iconography is a form of telling a story. And each icon has its own story related to it. This book is a nice, small edition that can be stuck in a pocketbook, easily carried with you to be used at Eucharistic Adoration for meditation, before or after Mass. It's beautiful. Full-color pictures. And there's a number of subjects in this book. I'm just going to name a few of them, and by no means is this all of them. But you have Benedict. You have Perpetua and Felicity, Francis of Assisi, Gregory of Nyssa, the Annunciation, John Chrysostom, Mary of Egypt, Joseph, the Washing of the Feet, Stephen, the Archangel Michael, and Peter and Ignatius of Antioch as well, among others. Again, beautiful little book, and it's a great source for meditation. And from the foreword of the book, I want to read a little something that says, "The images in this book will present to us over and over that mystery of personhood as we encounter the face of Christ and those who lived with him. In looking at the icons in this book, we can remember who we are and what we are called to be as we are continuously being conformed to the icon of his Son." Great meditation resource. I glanced through it, been reading it myself daily in daily prayer. I highly recommend that book. Next up is one from Ignatius Press, and this one's called Mary of Nazareth, History, Archaeology, and Legends, and it's by Michael Hessman. And this is a pretty deep dive into Mary, the Mother of Christ, and it's a good overview. And this book is unique that it's actually the only archaeological and historical biography of the woman that God chose to bear his Son. And that's from the overview of the book. And it takes Mary's life as a child, to her time with Jesus, to her final days on earth. And the author explores the places and areas where she was believed to have lived and walked, prayed, and lived out her daily life. Some locations that are discussed in the book are the Holy House in Laredo, her empty tomb in Jerusalem. So what it does is it looks at it as a journey through her life. And you can never have too many books about Mary, can we? So this is a good one as well that I think is worthy of reading. Haven't read this one yet. I plan to, though. When this one showed up in my mailbox the other day, I was really pretty stoked. This is from Sophia Institute Press, and it's called Father Benedict, The Spiritual and Intellectual Legacy of Pope Benedict XVI. As we all know, Pope Benedict XVI is going to go down in history as being a theologian and a great Catholic thinker, I think, of our times. The numerous books he's written certainly could fill a library, can consume a large portion of your time reading just his books themselves. Benedict can get a little heavy at times to read, but if you plow your way through them, there's a lot of gems within his books. So I'm going to read off the back cover here a nice little synopsis what they have. Pope Benedict XVI offers our generation one of the clearest understandings of our world today, tirelessly championing the new evangelization and a sacramental return to Christ and His church. Father Benedict offers a compelling case for the Christian way, guiding us through the thoughts and writings of the Bavarian priest who became the Holy Father and who now simply wishes to be called Father Benedict. So that's a nice little book from Sophia Institute Press, and I believe I forgot to mention the author's name. It's written by James Day. Kevin Vost has a new one out. It's available for pre-order at the time of the recording of this show. The name of the book is The Seven Gifts of the Holy Spirit, Every Spiritual Warrior's Guide to God's Invincible Gifts. This is Kevin, in case you don't know, Dr. Kevin Vost, is the author of The 1 Minute Aquinas, which was a really cool book that really took a deep look into Aquinas, but did it in bite-sized segments, hence the title 1 Minute Aquinas. This book is an intro to the seven gifts and how we submit our wills to the Holy Spirit. And as the back cover says, as Dr. Vost explains, these God-given gifts help us to conform our lives to His image. They prevent us from being drawn into frustration and possibly self-destruction by following our own sensual appetites. Indeed, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are the only path to being fully happy on earth and in life to come. A pretty good, timely read, I think. A lot of people, I think, get a little downtrodden with life and need some pick-me-ups. And, you know, the one route that I've always found has been good to steer me back on the path of life, clear my mind, is reading spiritual books. And this particular topic is a exceptional topic, actually. The gifts of the Holy Spirit may not be known. They may be known, but maybe not well known. Again, the subtitle is Every Spiritual Warrior's Guide to God's Invincible Gifts. We're talking about spiritual warfare in the next couple segments with Kathleen Beckman. Spiritual warfare is out there. It's something we have to face today. It's just there, unfortunately. But it's a reality of life, and we need to shore ourselves up against temptation, against sin. And that's kind of what we're talking about today. So, looking forward to reading that book from Kevin. Next up is a book, actually a number of books, from a series called The Chime Travelers from Lisa Hendy. I actually had the unique pleasure of giving an endorsement of this book that appears in the front cover of the series. And what I said was, Lisa Hendy's Chime Traveler series delivers Catholic values in an entertaining fashion that will delight the young and young at heart. Right now they're up to volume 5. The fifth volume just came out. My one daughter is reading these books. She really loves them. Definitely going to do a review on this series, and I'm hoping to get Lisa on in a future episode to talk about the series. Really good kids books. Kind of like, I have to equate them similar to Magic Treehouse books in a sense. But with a Catholic slant. Really good stuff that kids need to have this type of book. They need to be exposed to Catholicism, and at times it needs to be done in an entertaining way that they maybe sometimes don't even realize they're being catechized to. So this series of books, up to the fifth installment now, delivers that need, I feel, for youth today. And we might even take a gander at it as adults and learn something. So again, good series of books, The Time Travelers by Lisa Hendy. So today, we're getting ready to have Kathleen Beckman on. And as I said, you know, we're going to focus on some spiritual warfare things. We're going to talk about Father Gabriel Amorth, exorcist in Rome. You know, depending upon the source you read, he performed some 30,000 exorcisms, an incredible number. And, you know, those numbers, from some things I've read, increased as the years went by. And I think it's a sign of the times we're in, frankly. The devil's out there. He is roaming this earth. We know that. We were told that by Jesus in the Bible. And it's a reality. We have to face that, but we can overcome. You know, Kathleen's other book, God's Healing Mercy, talks about a team that we have with us on our journey, and that's very true. Saints are our team. They will help us against this. If we only ask for their intercession, they're there. So, we're going to take a brief break, and when we come back, we'll have Kathleen Beckman. You're listening to Off the Shelf here on Redbox Media. Stay tuned.
You are listening to Redbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at redboxmedia.com. Redbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf here on Redbox Media. And today I have as a guest Kathleen Beckman. She's the author of Praying for Priests, A Mission of the New Evangelization, and God's Healing Mercy, Finding Your Path to Forgiveness, Peace, and Joy. We'll be talking about those books today, as well as a new one from Sophia Institute Press. This one was written by Father Gabriel Amorth, and it was his final book before he passed away earlier this year. The name of that book is An Exorcist Explains the Demonic, the Antics of Satan and His Army of Fallen Angels, which Kathleen was invited by Sophia Institute Press to review and endorse the manuscript. Welcome to the show, Kathleen Beckman.
Thank you, Pete. I'm delighted to be with you.
Thanks for joining us. For those not familiar with you, obviously you have two books written that I mentioned, but there's also Foundation that you created, and it's all about praying for priests. And can you tell us a little bit about that foundation, how you formed it, and what it's all about?
Sure. I am absolutely delighted to share about the Foundation of Prayer for Priests. And I invite our listeners to go and visit for many free resources, www.foundationforpriests.org. It was founded, I'm a co-founder with a priest who works at Vatican, and we founded it really to promote the Congregation for Clergy's initiative. The Congregation for Clergy, when Cardinal Piacenza was a prefect, now for the listeners, the Congregation for Clergy is that congregation at the Vatican that is responsible for the priestly and seminarian formation throughout the church. And so they had promoted a booklet in 2007 initially, and it was titled Eucharistic Adoration for the Sanctification of Priests and Spiritual Motherhood, a long title. A beautiful booklet, and I happened to have that book when I was on a private retreat at the Holy Land in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. And Our Lady, praying at Calvary during the night there, Our Lady really put it on my heart to ask the congregation if there's any way that we can help them promote this. And so with permission of Cardinal Piacenza and a great encouragement from the congregation in the Vatican, we began, we founded this Foundation of Prayer for Priests. And since then, Pete, there are thousands and thousands of men and women who have discovered the vocation within a vocation, which is called spiritual motherhood of priests, spiritual fatherhood of priests. So taking Mary as the icon of mother of priests, taking St. Joseph as the icon of father of priests. And so it's been a beautiful work.
So now, before we go on to the first book you wrote, Praying for Priests, A Mission for the New Evangelization, I guess the question should be asked, you know, you got the chicken or the egg, which came first, the foundation or the book? Did the book help form the foundation, or was the foundation the springboard for the book?
Actually, they came to, they, it was together. What happened was, when I was done with that retreat, after praying and discerning with it, we have a founding team of half laity, half priests. And when we wrote our proposal to the congregation at the Vatican, it included several things. One of them was the book. The other thing was the foundation, and a website was designed. So very close to one another. They both were birthed, if you will, and they're part of the whole plan. We had outlined a plan which the Congregation for Clergy approved, and so both of them are resources. The website has, we're building up that website. It has sections on, you know, the identity of the priest. A lot of people don't understand. It's, the priest even could be a mystery to himself. So what is the priesthood? There's resources for seminarians. There's resources on intercessory prayer, because we're being called to intercede. What does that mean? How do we do it? There's resources on, you know, specifically the Vatican asked for Eucharistic adoration. Well, how do we live a Eucharistic life? So there's a whole section on Eucharistic life. There's a section on spiritual motherhood. There's a lot of details on the dignity and vocation of women. There's a section on spiritual warfare, because the enemy, you know, will come against us as we, as we really try to pray for priests and live a very serious, intentional prayer life. And so there's a whole section on spiritual warfare. And then we form many St. John Vianney Cynicals. It could be two people, could be 200 people, could be at a parish, could be at a private home. But people gather together to pray. We're really encouraging families to come together and pray, even for 5 minutes, you know, in their home, and maybe have a picture of their pastor, a picture of a seminarian, and let the kids see them and pray for them. So it's a beautiful work, and there's a lot of free resources there, about, you know, rosary reflections and things like that.
Right, and I think it's important, and when I first read your book, Praying for Priests, it kind of brought it into my focus a bit, is I don't think people necessarily realize what a priest goes through. I mean, the average Catholic shows up for church once a week, sees a priest for an hour, and then leaves.
Right.
To be honest. And that pulled a couple quotes out of the book. Again, we're talking about praying for priests, a mission for the new evangelization. And two quotes I pulled out that really struck me. And the first one you wrote was, "Perhaps more than we realize, the lay faithful take a cue from a priest's commitment to God. If we perceive authentic fervor, we are inspired. But if fervor seems lacking, we can try to excuse our own mediocrity. Yet it's also true that holy Christians guarantee holy priests. If we want to be inspired by our priests, we need to be people who inspire them." That really, that quote really struck me when I read the book. I mean, you know, people church hop, parish hop, we'll say, because they don't like their priest. But, you know, that could be a result of the laity in that church itself. We are just responsible for the priest's positivity, his being on fire for Christ, as he is to us. It's a reciprocal relationship. And I think your book pointed that out really well.
Thank you so much, Pete. That was the goal. You know, we tend to be, especially in America, it's not so much in a lot of other countries, but in America we tend to be consumeristic, and so we want to draw, you know, from the priest. And that's good. We can draw from him, but he needs to draw from us too. It, like you said, it's a reciprocal thing. And so as he, as we pray for him, I mean, and obviously God's going to sanctify us. You know, the Lord loves intercession. It's a very sacrificial, attitude, Christ-like attitude. And so we're uniting to the intercessor, Jesus Christ, praying for the priests who are in persona Christi. And they really need it. You know, I think because I'm in the church's ministry of healing, deliverance, and exorcism, I have a real awareness of how much the enemy comes against these men who are called to be priests. And of course, the scripture says, strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. And, right. And that's what is the tactic, yes.
Yeah, indeed. And, you know, and going back to the perception that people have of priests, you know, I personally don't think, unless people are reading the material like you've put out and reading Father Morth's book, that the thought that a priest is under spiritual attack might not even cross anyone's mind, that level of thought, unless they're in tune with that. So even if we back it down another level, and I can say this in my own diocese and deanery, we have a shortage of priests. So just to look at the day-to-day responsibilities of priests and the pressure they're under to try and take, it's not like in what I'll call the old days, where you had one priest that stayed in a parish for 40 years and everything, life was good. That was your go-to guy. You always went to him when you had a spiritual need. You know, with the shortage of priests, they're constantly moving. At least they are where I'm at.
Right. No, that's true. They in most dioceses that I'm aware of, there's a 6-year, time span, and then they move. Maybe that 6 years might be renewed for another 6 years, but at least every 12 years they're moving, and often every 6 years, and sometimes even less. I have a priest friend in a huge archdiocese. He's been a priest 7 years. He's moved 6 times.
Wow.
Now, let's bring that home. How about if, think of our families. What if, we were in a work situation where the family had to move in 7 years 6 times?
Yeah.
It would be extremely challenging. What we expect of the priest, the clergy, I think, is sometimes unrealistic, and yet we know that God will supply. And, the point of the book and the whole foundation of prayer for priests, because to the credit of the Vatican, of course, the Holy Spirit leading, they were more concerned with the quality of priests than quantity. And I understand that, because if we have a priest like the Curé of Ars, he changes the environment for a whole country, if you will. I mean, a saint can change the world. And so it's not programs so much that change the church, but saints. And so that's what we're praying for, that we, answer that call to holiness. But we need good priest examples, and they need, it's reciprocal, and we need to mirror holiness to one and accountability, because it's very challenging for priests, in this day and age, because of the worldliness, the culture, just since I grew up, the culture has changed so dramatically from being when I was growing up. I really perceived that the culture was much more supportive of Christianity than it is now. Mm-hmm. And so they're in a battle. They're on the front lines.
Yeah. And I'm going to close this segment with another quote. We'll have a couple of seconds to talk about it afterwards. I thought it was a really good one. Dwells on what we just spoke about. And the quote is this: "The priest's responsibility is awesome, and he is held to a higher standard that requires a continuous offering of prayer from him and others. Praying for our beloved priests assumes a deeper appreciation for the grandeur of the priestly office and a magnanimous response to Jesus, who exhorts us to ask the Lord to send laborers into his harvest." So again, we talked about earlier in this segment, it's all reciprocal.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we're going to have to close down this segment, and we'll be back to talk about your second book. But for right now, we're going to take a short break. You're listening to Off the Shelf on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
If you like what you're hearing, become a friend of the show. Visit breadboxmedia.com and click Friend of the Show to provide your support.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome Welcome back to Off the Shelf here on Redbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Sox, the Catholic Cookbook Blogger. We've been speaking with Kathleen Beckman about the office of the priesthood and her first book, Praying for Priests. Now we're going to talk about her second book called God's Healing Mercy, Finding Your Path to Forgiveness, Peace, and Joy. Kathleen, can you tell us a little bit about the overview of what the book is and why you chose to write this one?
Sure. Well, it was actually an invitation from Sophia Press for me to write this book. It was related to the Year of Mercy, but not exclusive to the Year of Mercy. So I wanted to really stress the healing power of divine mercy, especially in the area of forgiveness. So for me, forgiveness is incredibly personal, Pete, because my father-in-law was brutally murdered. And after the murder, I really struggled forgiving the murderer. And Jesus, through Eucharistic adoration and over a period of time, really began to teach me, if you will, take me to that scene in Scripture where he was on the cross and prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I really entered into what is forgiveness. Because I do many retreats, because I'm an Ignatian certified retreat director, I lead retreats internationally, and I have interfaced and prayed with so many people who struggle with in the area of forgiving. All people have something that they need to forgive, and so and at some level we've been hurt and need forgiveness. And so I really wanted to approach the Church's teaching on forgiveness and divine mercy from many aspects, the spiritual, psychological, even medical, physical. And so the book, the first couple of chapters really on helping us to enter into any unforgiveness and to rid ourselves of, as I write in the book, the poison of unforgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
I contrast a lot what forgiveness is and isn't, and also the characteristics of a forgiving person versus the characteristics of an unforgiving person. And it's a practical book. At the end of every chapter, there were 12 chapters, and at the end of each chapter, one of my favorite things in the book is a profile in mercy, and mm-hmm. it's a saint. And so we take examples of saints or blesseds, and say Mother Teresa, and St. John Paul II, and of course St. Faustina. So it's, you know, at the end of each chapter, there are spiritual exercises as well, where there's a scripture given that exemplifies divine mercy, and then there are 5 points. And so it's perfect for many parishes. Went through the God's Healing Mercy retreats. I'm scheduled for some in 2017, God's Healing Mercy retreats, into it as well. So it's really set up so that it can be a good retreat book, a reflection book,
mm-hmm.
to help us delve deeper into inner healing.
Definitely. You know, one point you made there, you know, it was just because it was published during the Year of Mercy doesn't mean it's exclusive to that. The mercy you're speaking of is, you know, something we need to work on always. It doesn't matter if there's a Jubilee year dedicated to it or not. So it's definitely a usable book.
Absolutely.
Anytime. Now, I want to delve a little deeper into something here. The reason you wrote the book was the murder of your father-in-law, right?
Well, I really stressed forgiveness. And
yes.
I mean, it goes, of course, along with divine mercy and forgiveness. And so that was the reason that I wanted to, because I needed inner healing after that murder.
Right.
And so that's why when they invited me to write their book on divine mercy, I asked if we could really have it be under the banner of inner healing.
Mm-hmm. Which I think, you know, taking that, your own personal experience like that, even though you're putting yourself out there a little bit, is a real mm-hmm. world example that it can be done. Mercy is achievable if we're open to it on both ends of it, receiving it and giving it.
Right. That's right. And it's so necessary. It's really beautiful. And the book has a whole chapter on healing from spiritual warfare to Christ's victory, which has been a very interesting chapter for many people. And what I did in that chapter, Pete, was I took the retreat that Jesus taught to St. Faustina. And my daughter, I want to teach you about spiritual warfare.
Right.
And so I take what Jesus gave to Saint Faustina. Now, Faustina, here she is a saint, and when she was a nun in a convent, she experienced many diabolical attacks. And so there are many lessons within the diary of Faustina that teach us how to deal with our own spiritual warfare. And so this chapter's been very, everybody who brings me in to do God's Healing Mercy retreat asks me to lead that chapter of spiritual warfare to Christ's victory. So, but there's other chapters are from fear to trust, healing from anxiety to peace, from shame to mercy, from pride to humility, from powerlessness to prayer, from sin sickness to the Eucharist. So it's a practical book, and it's helped people. I've received a lot of feedback, many emails that share that it really helped them to receive God's mercy at a deeper level.
Right. And some of the examples you use in the book, obviously you mentioned it earlier, were different saints. And throughout writing this book, can you tell listeners some of the saints that struck you as you're doing your research and compiling the book and making the final product?
Well, I really like the example of Mother Teresa, but really I have to say one of my, and of course St. John Paul II, but absolutely one of my favorite was Cardinal Francis von Thuan, who was the prisoner of war. His cause for beatification is in the process at the Vatican, but his example of mercy was he was imprisoned in Vietnam. Absolutely touched my heart, especially because it was so Eucharistic, that the Eucharist and this tiny little piece of host that was smuggled into the prison, he used to lead adoration with it, and he said that Buddhists and other religion people from other faiths were converted through that, and so he talks about how he treated his prison guards, and boy, it to this day, I mean, I use that as a reflection in all of my retreats, and people are moved to tears by his witness. So mm-hmm. He's one of my favorite ones. Have you heard of him, Pete?
No, actually, that's the first time what you're saying there, which I like that. I like learning about new saints. I mean, you have the ones, and I'm not detracting from them, you have your the ones that are well-known, but it's the ones like that that are not as well-known that I think, you know, people need to hear their stories.
Absolutely. So that's what I want. I have St. Gianna Mola. Of course, she was showed mercy in giving her life for the sake mm-hmm. of her child, you know. And there's a story in there that when I was on EWTN television with Johnette, they did a five-day series, a whole week-long series on God's Healing Mercy. And they highlighted a story that about St. John Paul II when he was a seminarian that very few people were even aware. He saved the life of a young woman that had escaped from the prison camp, and she was Edith Zier, and it was in 1945, and she was 13. And he saved her by, he literally carried her to get to Krakow, and she was, her life was spared. She was very sick and just sitting she had escaped and from the prison camp and was in her prison clothes, and she was so weak that she, when she got to the train station, she was just sitting in a corner and nobody even talked to her. Nobody, she was 13 years old. She just sat in the corner, but she describes this young and good looking, what she thought he was a priest because he was in a cassock, I think. And, he went to her and said, "What are you doing here?" And it's a beautiful story. Mm-hmm. And so it was highlighted on EWTN. And so I was happy to discover that was something I did not know about him when he was a seminarian. So, yeah, there's a lot of gems in there.
Yeah, there are. I'd like to point something out that you mentioned in the book also mm-hmm. is, as you use it as a retreat, you refer to having a personal retreat team. And you're using that in reference to the saints that you're using as your example. And I think that to me was a really awesome thing to think about, you know, because they really are they are really there to help. And in the construct or the way this book is built, it is a team that is helping you towards mercy.
Yes, thank you for noticing that. It's so true because, I mean, I'm a huge fan of taking a personal retreat once or twice a year. And sometimes it will be guided. Sometimes I like to go to a monastery or a retreat center for a few days and use a book like this to just kind of go deeper. You know, the scripture is built into it. The questions are built into it. The way Sophia Press laid it out, there's pictures of the saints and their stories are highlighted. And so it's just the presentation is beautiful and it helps a person to go deeper interiorly.
Now, do you have any tips for anybody who wants to use this book for a retreat in their own parishes if they're unable to get you to come and do it themselves?
Yes, and you know, Pete, there were many priests who called. And I said to the pastors, you know, the book is built where you could take your, you don't need to bring me out. The book is built to where you could lead your parish through this. The tip I would give is that if they get the book, if they want to do a group retreat, if they contact Sophia Institute Press directly, Sophia is so generous to give 50% discount off the book, mm-hmm. which brings it to under $10. And so for group events like that, it's very wonderful to work with Sophia Press because they're very generous. So I would encourage people if you're going to buy over 10, if there's going to be over 10 people in your group and you need right. over 10 books, I would contact directly the publisher and ask for the discount.
That's a pretty good tip.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, we're going to take another brief break. You've been listening to Off the Shelf. I'm your host, Pete Sox, Catholic book blogger, and we'll be right back.
If you like what you're hearing, become a friend of the show. Visit redboxmedia.com and click Friend of the Show to provide your support.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf from Breadbox Media. We've been talking today with Kathleen Beckman about two of her own books, Praying for Priests and God's Healing Mercy. And now we're going to segue into another book that Kathleen talks about. It is called An Exorcist Explains the Demonic, The Antics of Satan and His Army of Fallen Angels, and it's by Father Gabriel Amorth. What a powerful read this is. That's what I'm going to start this segment off with. Can you give us some of your thoughts, Kathleen, to open up our conversation on this book?
I'd be happy to, Pete. First of all, I think the entire church owes dear Father Gabriel Amorth a debt of gratitude because this book, he died before it was even published. So I could tell that he had poured his heart and soul into this last work of his. And I think he just wanted to enrich the church, leave the church this treasury of information, his experiential knowledge. He was a pioneer of exorcism, bringing what many people consider to be on the periphery, consider to be strange, and don't want to deal with, something that what he does is he takes that and he brings it right into the heart of the gospel in this book. So while his other books, his previous books, really were very focused on the ministry of exorcism, this book is much more well-rounded because he talks about purgatory. He talks about, there's stuff about, he really deals with, of course, spiritual warfare, and all the levels of temptation, oppression, obsession, and possession. But mm-hmm. he also deals with eschatology, angelology, the role of Mary. And so it's a rich, rich book. And I would really recommend it for everyone. And I don't do that, recommend that people read a whole lot of books about spiritual warfare, but to be very thoughtful mm-hmm. in what they do read about it, because there can be a lot of subjectivity
yes.
a lot of suggestion, mm-hmm. out of suggestion that comes from it. It's like if I read a book on a medical condition, when we go online and read something from a doctor or, about medical, then we think we have that illness, and that's what can
right.
happen through spiritual reading on this. But in this book, I think it's well worth the read for everyone.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, it is a very well-rounded book. I want to go down, the back cover actually lists a series of questions that he answers in the book, which I think will give people a taste for what's in it. And they were, where does the evil one dwell in the human body? How does the devil appear and what does he look like? What are the powers that come from Satan? Do the sins of our ancestors influence our life? How are spiritual evils contracted? What is the state of souls in purgatory? What should exorcisms and prayers of healing be performed when? And what happens during an exorcism? And what should you do when a family is being attacked by a demon? Now, I want to say something here. You know, when you say the word exorcist or exorcism, everybody's mind, I think, automatically jumps to Hollywood.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not what it is. And, you know, Father Morth kind of, in the book, explains it, but when he's explaining it, he's talking about actualities and not the grandiose portrayal that Hollywood has had of head spinning and all that good stuff. If, well, not good, mm-hmm. but all that grandiose portrayal of it. You know, spiritual warfare is a reality. It's definitely a reality in our time. It's something that needs to be faced, but, you know, people shouldn't be afraid to understand what it is, I think. And, you know.
No, in fact, I agree with you, Pete. We need to put on the armor of God. So we do need to know our enemy. And, you know, we read in the Catechism that the spiritual life is a battle. Prayer is a battle. And mm-hmm. so we look at the life of Jesus, who is the chief exorcist, and we see that Jesus preached and he healed. And part of the church's healing ministry is includes the rite of exorcism of possessed people, which, again, is full possession is extremely rare. But I've seen many and have been present to many full major rites of exorcism.
Mm-hmm.
And but most of us really need to be well equipped to deal with what we would call, and Father Amorth speaks about this so eloquently in his book, the ordinary diabolical attack, which is temptation.
Yeah.
And so, you know, all of us, there's no one exempt from temptation. And so we need to, Ephesians 6, you know, St. Paul, put on the armor of God and realize that we do have an enemy who is coming against us and will try to harass us. And the closer we get to the Lord, we read in the lives of the saints as well, that the closer we get, the more of a threat we become to the kingdom of darkness, and the enemy will come after us. But this idea, this whole area of temptation is something that I think is something where we need to be very active in resisting the temptation, but also knowing the tactics of the enemy. And that's why I really appreciate the subtitle of Father Amorth's book, The Antics of mm-hmm. Satan, and his army of fallen angels. So how do they act upon us? Well, usually, you know, it begins with temptation, which is considered quite ordinary for everyone in the battlefield of the mind and in the intelligence. And then you work your way down to the category of oppression, which Father Amorth speaks about in the book, which some exorcists will call this diabolical vexation, and the biblical equivalent would be the book of Job.
Mm-hmm.
So when your life you know, becomes very inclusive of the things that happened to Job, dear Job, then, you know, you can suspect that diabolical vexation or oppression.
Right.
And then obsession is the next level. And that is much stronger, and then, you know, it is more frequent than possession. Possession is, again, extremely rare, but as Father Amorth speaks about in his book, you know, there's an increase in interest in all things dark.
Mm-hmm.
Diabolical Satanism is on the rise. You know, we only have to look at programming on witches and things like that on television. Also, go into your local bookstore and you'll see, even in, you know, if you look for the Catholic or Christian section, you'll see a much bigger section now on witchcraft and the occult. And so it's a dangerous situation out there, and that's why we need to be informed.
Right. And the one point you made is, you know, is resisting temptation, because, and Father Morth makes that point in this book as well, is, you know, if you give into that temptation and open the door, it's very difficult to shut it once the Satan and his army enter.
Exactly.
The resistance of temptation and the practice of utilizing confession, the sacrament of confession, is so important. And I think it is, you know, this came up in our That Man Is You group 2 weeks ago. We actually talked about Father Gabriel, and we were talking about confession and spiritual warfare. And, you know, one of the guys made the comment about how short the confessional lines are. He just loved to see more people in the confessional lines. Nobody takes advantage of it.
Right. It depends on the parish that you're
in.
But, you know, that it needs to be, I think, I would like to say this to the listeners, that keep in mind that the confession, reconciliation is a sacrament, and the rite of exorcism is a sacramental. And there's night and day difference, really. And so the sacrament is the healing sacrament, and so of confession. And so the first thing when people call our diocese, we have a protocol, and most dioceses have this, if there's a designated exorcist priest. So people will look for help, and the first thing that will be recommended is to make a very good general confession. And most often, quite often, I will say not most, but quite often, that is it. That's all that was needed. They become liberated from a good sacramental confession. And so that is more powerful than the rite of exorcism. The rite is a sacramental, and it is very powerful, especially, of course, it liberates people who have a full possession. And again, it's very rare, and so that people understand, possession means that evil spirits can periodically control a person's body. It's not, always, but periodically. So it's evidenced by very particular manifestation markers. It's like if you went to the doctor, Pete, and he was diagnosing you, and he would look for markers for a particular pathology, if you will.
Okay.
And so it's the same thing. The exorcist, we have an intake form. He's going to take a history. He's going to look for particular markers, and there are very specific symptoms of somebody who is fully possessed. And so the teams, I work with my exorcist, I work with several around the United States. And it's very clear. So, again, very rare, only when a person has really invited Satan in very deliberately, or in terrible situations where a child is consecrated to Satan from the time of conception, because his or her parents may be involved in Satanism. And it happens.
Yeah, it does. Unfortunately, it does. We really could talk about this for, I think, another half hour, but we're almost out of time.
it goes quickly.
It does. So thank you so much, Kathleen, for spending time with us today. It was an absolute pleasure to have the conversation with you and talk about your three books. Could you repeat your web address so that people know where to find out more about you and your work for priests?
Sure, Pete. Thank you. Please visit www.foundationforpriests.org and also www.kathleenbeckman.com, which will refer you over to the website that has to do with the priest as well. And it'll talk also about a new book I have coming, When Women Pray. But that's for another program.
Yes, I will definitely have you back on if you're willing to be here.
Sure. Thank you, Pete. Keep up your good work.
You're quite welcome. Thank you.
God bless you. God bless. Bye-bye.
And with that, folks, we are out of time. You've been listening to Off the Shelf here at Red Box Media. Until next time, God bless.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.